If you will, do me a favor and grab a hymnal and open up to page 321. One of the real blessings of our hymnals is they also have Luther's small catechism in the front part. And you see at page 321, the Ten Commandments begin. And then, so what I invite you to do is to keep your hymnal open to that page and then take your sermon notes out from the inside of our bulletin here and kind of keep that page open with the commandments here. And while you're doing that, I want to tell you a story about one of our mission trips we went on to Mexico. Pastor Trini Castaneda and his wife Nellie and all their children and a couple folks from Cristo Rey, our sister Lutheran church here in our Hispanic Lutheran church down in South Oklahoma City. We've done a few mission trips over the years to Mexico, and we've gone to the village that was Trini's father's home village, and it's pretty much almost dead center, north, south, east, and west in Mexico. And on one of these trips, I was driving our church van, and Trini was driving Cristo Rey's church van. They look very similar, the white vans, and we were coming kind of down out of this mountain pass on this long stretch of road, and the speed just kind of picked, not that your pastor would ever speed intentionally, right? Anyway, all of a sudden, the federales pull me over. And I'm thinking, oh boy, I'm going to get a ticket in Mexico. I hope I don't get arrested, put in jail in Mexico. Well, anyway, the Mexican highway patrolman comes up, and I roll down the window, and he starts talking to me in Spanish. And I could just speak a little Spanish, and I was like, oh, You need to go talk to the man in the back, you know. And so he goes back to talk to Pastor Castaneda, and we had walkie-talkies so we could talk back and forth between the vans. And so after a few minutes, I see the police officer. He gets back in his car and just drives away. And I like, Trini, what happened? Did I get a ticket or something? And he said, no. I told him what we were doing, that we were on a mission trip. We were going to do vacation Bible school and do a medical mission trip while we were there. So he's going to give you a break. But he did say, to tell you, you see those signs with the speed limit on there? He said, those are not just suggestions. Because he thought I was treating them like a suggestion. And I want to tell you something. These are not 10 suggestions from God. They are called commandments on purpose because God has given them to us, as we said in our prayer today, to be a blessing to us, that we really can live more full and more fully blessed lives. So, but I really need to, before I even start on the message here today, I want to make something clear. When I'm talking about us keeping the commandments here, this is not so that we get in good with God or to make God love us or to make God forgive us. Because Jesus said, he was very clear. Did you catch that in the gospel reading today? He said, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, and they thought they were pretty holy, you know, that they did a good job of keeping God's laws. He said, because basically what we learn from Scripture is breaking any commandment one time is enough to separate us from God forever. And so we can't save ourselves, and the great news is we don't have to. Jesus, as he said in the gospel, said, I have come to fulfill all the law and the prophets. And he did that for you. And he did that for me because we can't. And we don't. And so today we confess, God, I haven't really loved you with my whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. I haven't always loved my neighbor as myself. And the good news is, Jesus says, but I did for you. So we have been forgiven. We are saved. Now, these commandments really are to help us to live a life of response to this love of God. And as I said, Pastor Henschel, he got us started with this last week, really, the three commandments that he talked about. The first three that you see there on page 321 all are to help us to love God with our whole heart, mind, soul. But I want you to read the explanation to the first commandment with me. It's there on page 321. You know, you shall have no other gods. What does this mean? So let's read that together. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And So if you go back to your sermon notes, I put those three phrases there because we have to understand it, that it's this, God's love for you and me, that empowers us to even love Him. But we're also going to see today that it's God's love for us that empowers us to love our neighbor, to love each other as we love ourselves. So there's kind of an interesting phrase, you know, we should fear God. Did you ever scratch your head and go, what? Am I supposed to be afraid of God, like in terror? And then he said, no, that's not really the kind of fear that the Bible's talking about or that Luther was talking about. So in the sermon notes that I put, it's kind of this reverent awe of who God is, you know, that he's this omnipotent, all-powerful, all-knowing God, but also a sense of reverence and awe for all that God has done for us. Specifically, you know, why we as Christians can wear a cross as a symbol of hope and joy. Because in love, Jesus laid down his life for us. And we had communion at middle service today, and I said, you heard those words again. Jesus said, this is my body and this is my blood given and shed for you. That's how much he loves us. And he was willing to lay down his life for us. And that's why we love him back. So we have start with this kind of reverent awe for all that he is and all that he's done. And then it also says to love God. And this kind of love that the Bible talks about is in the original language, the word is agape love. And this means the kind of love that God has for us. It is selfless, and it is self-sacrificing love. A love that's willing to put the needs of others ahead of our own. And boy, Jesus was willing to do that, wasn't he? And so that's the kind of love that we're talking about here. And as you can see, that's a big love. That's a love that I don't have in me and you don't have in you until the love of God fills our heart and life. So I love the way John says it in his epistles. He says, we love because God first loved us. And that's true of our love of God. It's also true of our love for each other. We love each other because God first loved us too. So we have this fear, this reverent awe for God. We have a love for God. And then Luther reminds us too, and deeply rooted in that love is a sense of trust. Trust in God. Because if you think about it, God is truly the only trustworthy one. He is the only one who never has and never ever will break his promise to us. So he is 100% all the time worthy of our trust. So that kind of sets the stage. This is the God that we're called to love with all our heart and all our soul and all our minds. Now, Jesus also said, you know, that's the summary of the greatest commandment, loving God. But then he said, the second one is just like it. You are to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Well, how do we do that? Well, God has blessed us with some commandments to do that as well. So are you strapped in, Pastor Henschel? Got your seatbelt on? Because here we go. Seven commandments we're going to go. And we're going to start. Parents, you love this one, right? Honor who? Father and mother. Honor your father and mother. And it goes on and it gives the promise here too. We should fear, love God so that we do not despise or anger our parents and other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. And so what I've done in the sermon notes for each one of these commandments, I've given one thing that God has told us not to do to love and honor him, and also something he's given us to do to fulfill this commandment and, again, love and honor him. And I don't know if you've ever caught this before, but how Luther, in every one of these explanations, even in his teaching us and encouraging us to love our neighbor, he says it's driven by, and it comes out of a love for God. So do you see how the explanation, we should fear and love God so that we honor our parents. We should fear and love God so that we don't kill. We should fear and love God so that we don't steal, and so forth. But, you know, we talk a lot about parents, and I said this parenting seminar we're blessed to host a week from Wednesday, the paragraph down here where it says, you know, what's going to happen at the seminar, it says it this way, parents often emphasize obedience but don't know how powerful honor can be. Honor changes how kids think and how they act. Come learn practical ways to teach honor to your kids. And grandparents, you can come too and help teach honor to your grandchildren. In fact, you know, we believe in this so much that Myron and our family ministry, we were willing to pay half of your registration fee for this. We will cover that out of our budget for this because we really think it's important to teach this to love and to honor. Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about parents and honoring parents because we do that most of the time when we get to this commandment. Sometimes we forget about the rest of the explanation, though, because Luther says we are also to love, honor, cherish, obey all those in authority. And today, this week in particular, I want to encourage you to single out one group of professionals, our law enforcement officers, our police officers, the highway patrol, and our local. Because I know you've seen in the news, maybe you've even heard this phrase, and it's kind of disgusting, really, pigs in a blanket. And it's being you know, sent out there, the idea of, well, you know, some police officers have mistreated some people in our nation, so we need to kill some police officers. They'll end up being covered in a blanket. That's what's behind that phrase, pigs in a blanket. And an officer was shot down in Texas, and some more have too. So I want to encourage you, when you see a police officer, even if he's pulling you over for speeding this week, to say, thank you. Thank you for protecting me. Now, I don't know if they're going to let you give him a hug or not. But you can try it. You can give it a try. You know, say, hey, we were just talking about how we need to honor you, and I want to thank you. And by the way, I always encourage you to do that to our servicemen and women, too, when you see them, thank them. But in particular, because of what's happening with our law enforcement officers, when you see one, go up and thank them. Honor them. Because you see what I put in the sermon notes there? It says, not anger them, but adore them. Show them that they are loved and appreciated. And certainly we can do that with our parents and others in authority, but let's really thank God for our police officers this week. Well, the next commandment is, you shall not murder. And this has to do, that says we should fear and love God so that we're protecting our neighbor in all his bodily needs. You know, and again, the explanation says it's not just about not killing someone. It's about helping their, in whatever their physical needs might be. So you see that explanation? We should fear and love God so we don't hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need. And one of the things that really helps us do that is if whenever we see somebody, we see them the way God sees them. We see them the way the Creator sees them, as a precious gift of life, a part of his handiwork and his creation. So to help them in whatever their needs might be. And you know, the kids are having the garage sale, and as I said, you know, when they're done, that stuff's going to go help somebody in their physical need. So if you can bring some stuff, that'd be a great way to do that right here. But when you see someone in a need, tomorrow we have, on Mondays, we do mobile meals here at Messiah, and that's a great way to help somebody in their physical need. And I know we need some more helpers for that, too, so give the office a call. You can be a meal preparer or a meal deliverer if you're able to do that on Mondays. It's a great way to answer this commandment to not slay, you know, murder, kill, but instead to support their body. The sixth commandment, I spent 2 weeks preaching on this summer as part of our Taboo series, and one of the things I reminded us was that our human sexuality is a great gift from God, but God, with that gift, has said, here's the boundaries for you to express that gift. And it's between a husband and wife, a man and a woman joined together in marriage. That's the boundary. And do you see the way I said it? We should fear and love God so we honor God with our bodies in the way that we stay within the sexual boundaries that he's given to us. So here it's not about lusting after someone else physically, but instead to really love as God has called us to love, and within the boundaries. And, you know, sometimes I don't think we really appreciate the gift of boundaries. And I read an interesting story this week. It was about kind of in the progressive education movement, you know, there were some schools where they just took down all the walls, and so they kind of tried it in that setting. And And one administrator at an elementary school, he went even a step further. He wanted to see what would happen if they took the fence away from around the playground. And when I mentioned that at Middle Surf, I saw some moms out there going, "What? You know, they'll run out into the street." Well, guess what happened? He expected, yeah, the kids would all start to, you know, spread out and go farther and farther away. But when the boundary of the fence was removed at this elementary school, the kids actually did the opposite. They began to stay huddled more and more in the center of the playground. Because I think on one hand, they didn't really know where they were supposed to go. How far could they go and then not get in trouble? But ultimately, I think what they recognized is the fence, the boundary, was there to protect them. And living within the boundary was a good thing for them, and it's a good thing for us too, especially in this area of our life. So not lusting, but loving. Well, what about the commandment not to steal? Here we should fear and love God so that we protect our neighbor's stuff. The seventh commandment, you shall not steal. So here's an interesting thing. You know where people steal all the time? People that would never think of stealing anywhere else? Hotels. And I'm not talking about the leftover shampoo. I don't think they really care if you open up a bottle of shampoo. I don't think they really want it. They just throw those away anyway. And by the way, the Gideons who put the Bibles in the hotels, they don't care if you take those either. They want you to, in fact, and put them to good use. But you know what the number one thing is that's stolen from hotels? Yeah, towels. In fact, in Britain, they did this survey of the British people, and they asked them, how many of you have stolen something from a hotel? 68% said they had stolen from a hotel, and the number one thing was towels. So in fact, this one hotel chain, they've gone with technology, and they actually have a little chip about the size of an M&M that they put inside of their towels, and if it goes past the elevator, it dings, and they know somebody is trying to steal their towel. And even with the cost of putting those little chips in their towels, they think they will save over $50,000 a year. That's how many towels get stolen. Do not steal. But you see, the explanation goes deeper than that. What does it say? We should fear and love God so we do not take our neighbor's money or possessions or get them in any dishonest way, but instead help him to improve and protect his possessions, his income. So instead of pilfering it and taking what's not really ours, we're called to help our neighbor protect his stuff. You know, and sometimes there's real practical ways you can do that. If you see your neighbor's left a tool or something out in the yard, you might just go and, you know, put it back over the fence or give him a call and tell him, hey, your water was running and I went over and shut your water off for you. I've had my neighbor do that for me. And I've done that for my neighbor, too. We were on a walk, and all of a sudden, you see all this water pouring out of their backyard? Well, they left the hose on in their pool, and it was just running and running. And I have to tell you, when I called our neighbor, he says, "Oh, I'm so thankful. I'm in Colorado." And it would have been running and running for days. And a member did that for us. I mean, our neighbor did that for us one time, too. So helping them improve and protect. Now, the eighth commandment talks about the power of this, yeah, that thing. And I should probably do that more often. Not when I'm preaching, but I should probably really get a hold of my tongue sometimes, because I grew up in the Munchau household, you know, and we have a lot of sarcastic humor, right, Pastor Henschel? He finds it out on the golf course with me. But sometimes I'm like, oh, man, I probably shouldn't have said that. And right now, I just started a new Bible study on Thursday mornings, and we're doing the book of James. And this week, the lesson this week, we're going to be in James chapter 3. And I want to read where James talks about how powerful this is and why it made one of the commandments about not bearing false witness, not using our tongue to destroy and to tear down, but instead, or even to lie, but instead using our tongues to lift up. So this is James 3, verse 5. James says, "So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire." Wow. And even in the book of Proverbs, the writer Solomon writes this down. He says, you know, some things that really bother God. And here's how he says it. there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are abomination to him. And then he goes down the list, and here's the tongue. A false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. So two of those things the Lord really despises have to do with misusing our tongue, telling lies about somebody else. And we can also hurt somebody's reputation. We can tell the truth in a very hurtful way about them. And that's sowing those seeds of discord. So instead, what does God encourage us to do? Don't lie, but lift them up. And I love the explanation here as Luther wrote it. But defend your neighbor, speak well of your neighbor, and explain everything about your neighbor in the kindest way. Don't assume the worst and spread that rumor. Instead, assume the best and use your tongue to build one another up. And then the last two commandments, they have to do with kind of the desires of our heart. And I need to tell you, there's nothing wrong with wanting stuff, things, whatever. But when it becomes a sinful desire, that's when it really moves into the coveting, the breaking of the ninth and tenth commandments. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, the ninth commandment, the tenth commandment. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, manservant, maidservant, ox, donkey, anything. And you see in the explanation there again, we should fear and love God so that instead of trying to scheme to get those things away from our neighbor, instead we serve our neighbor and we're helping our neighbor to improve them and protect them. Wow. And that's hard. I think it's hard in America because, boy, you know, we have a lot of, we're very blessed, but we just get smashed. There's onslaught of advertising, and in fact, $450 billion is spent every year to kind of make you unsatisfied, to make you think, not I want that. Advertiser's job is really to get you to think, I need that. I need that. And it's a very interesting phenomenon in the history of the United States. Before World War II, and some of you are old enough that you were around in those years, advertising, basically, its function was to give information about the products that you need. So they would say, here's our product, and here's all the things it does. But after World War II, post-World War II, people were very frugal. And advertisers realized people weren't just going to go buy stuff for the sake of getting stuff. So they had to make you think that you had to have that stuff. And I read this study on advertising. It was called The Merchants of Discontent. And it said the shift in advertising post-World War II went from this, from fulfilling people's needs to creating them, to creating, at least in our mind and our heart, the thing that we think, I need this. Like parents and grandparents, I know when you've been in the toy store or the toy aisle at church, right, your child or your grandchild says, hey, Mom, I need this. You're like, oh, really? Don't you have six of those at home? Yeah, but I don't have this one. I need this one. And we're no different either, by the way, as adults. I need this. Again, nothing wrong with having a want, but when it becomes a desire to the point of sin, where we might break one of the other commandments, where we might lie or scheme or cheat or steal or murder to get that thing we think we need, then we're breaking the commandment. All of them, really, are boundaries given to you and me to bless us, to help us to love God, to help us to love one another, to help us to put the love that God has shown to us and given to us into action. And I really think this is very true, that it is this that empowers this. If it wasn't for God's love for you and for me, we would not love him back. We just respond to the love he's given to us. We love because he first loved us. And it's that love, his love, in our hearts, in our lives, on our lips, that enables us, empowers us to love our neighbor as ourself. All to his glory. Amen. Amen. May that peace of God and that love of God that really is beyond our human understanding, may it guard keep and fill our hearts in Christ Jesus. Amen.